The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. Well, good. Once again, good evening, brothers and sisters. It's lovely to be here. If I haven't had a chance to introduce myself yet, I'm your brand new priest. I'm Father Hudgens. And I'm looking forward to getting to know everybody, little by little, as much as coronapocalypse will allow, right? Perhaps it'll be a little bit slower than usual, but I'm looking forward to it nonetheless. Little thought for you here this evening, something to mull over, something I hope you might find helpful. In recent decades, technological and industrial developments have ushered in a world of conveniences unimagined by our ancestors that have lifted nearly every physical burden from our daily lives. We have air conditioning and hair conditioning. We have Wawa and Wi-Fi. We have indoor plumbing and outdoor grilling. We have instant coffee, instant oatmeal, instant pizza, instant noodles, instant messaging, instant approval credit, and if something isn't instant yet, just give them a few more years. Question for you here this evening. With all these burdens lifted from life, why is it that life is still so burdensome? The answer is actually really simple. It's because the comforts of the body have no power to comfort the soul. You are soul and body, united, one, and inseparable. However, your soul is so much deeper, so much more profound, that no amount of comfort of the body can possibly take away the anguish, the distress that you feel in the depths of your soul. This is what St. Augustine meant when he spoke so many years ago, and he said, "You've made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." It's why the appeal that you hear in this gospel that you just heard is one of the most compelling in all the scriptures. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." One of the most compelling invitations. And you know the simplest way to understand that? Simplest way to understand that. If you labor and are burdened, if you suffer, if you have anguish, if you have distress in the depths of your soul, it means you have not yet come to the Lord, at least not yet fully. It really is that simple. And I could just end the homily right there. Just go back and sit down in that chair. What do you think? No. And there's one little thing that I want to share with you that I hope you find helpful. And it's this little line that our Lord says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." What does that mean? My yoke. First of all, that's yoke, Y-O-K-E, not Y-O-L-K, right? This isn't about Sunday brunch. We're not talking about eggs up here. What the heck is a yoke? Anyway, you know what? I'm sure you know what a yoke is. A yoke is a wooden truss. And it's worn by a pair of oxen that doesn't so much add a burden as allow a burden to be carried. So Jesus says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Take it upon you." Jesus never said following him would not be a burden. Somehow we have this idea in our minds that somewhere in the penumbra of the scriptures, Jesus somewhere said, come follow me and all your troubles will be over. You know, and then we follow the Lord and we try to keep his commandments, and we're just astonished to realize that sometimes life is a lot more difficult. He never said that there wouldn't be a burden in following him. In fact, he promised that there would be. He just promised us that we would never be overcome. But what's his burden? What's his yoke? Well, the burden that our Lord carries, that's the burden of the cross. Jesus carried on his shoulders the sum total of every sin that has ever been committed. One of these things is it's so succinctly and pithily phrased. He paid a debt he did not owe, because we owed a debt that we could not pay. So here's the question for you for the evening. If the yoke of the Lord is the cross, if the burden of the Lord is the cross, how in God's creation is that ever easy? How in the world is that ever light? There's two ways we can understand that, all right? Two ways. Here's the first. The Lord's yoke is easy compared with the burdens we put on our own shoulders, ladies and gentlemen. Now look, everybody gets a cross in this life. Everybody, without one single exception, could take any number of forms. Could be financial, could be your health. It could be a strained relationship, could be a very difficult set of circumstances that you're asked to live under. You didn't create it, you didn't cause it, but there it is. You want to know the simplest way to identify the cross in your life? Here's how I like to say to phrase it. Put it like this. If I could give you a magic wand, and you could wave that magic wand and subtract something out of your life, what would you take out? What you've just done is you've just identified your cross. It's the holiest thing in your entire life. And it's not easy to carry, is it? No, it's not. No, it's not. However, if God has called you to a great difficulty, he's going to give you everything you need to see it through to the end. If he asks you to walk a hard road, he gives you strong shoes. Every time, always sustains us with his grace. The thing that's difficult is not the cross that our Lord has called us to. It's the ones we put on our own shoulders. And we do this all the time. The vast majority of people live the bulk of their lives sweltering under the cruel and merciless cross that they fashioned with their own hands and made for themselves. We live slavishly in the minds of other people, don't we? Always concerned what somebody else thinks. And then we have these little projects that we take on. Maybe it's a promotion that we want. Maybe it's, you know, some pay increase or some job or some possession. And we pursue these things doggedly, relentlessly, never asking for a minute if God willed any of it. And he doesn't. It's a terrible, terrible burden. Listen, compared to what our Lord calls us to, that's easy. It's light. Here's the other way that we can understand it. I like to go back to the original Greek text of the gospel sometimes. So this is something you're going to hear me do in the future as the years unfold. I hope that you already know this, just in case you don't. The gospels were originally written in Greek. They weren't written in Hebrew, they weren't written in Latin, and they certainly weren't written in English. So if you go back to the original text, sometimes what you find is a shadow of a meaning that casts light on what you just heard. And you go back to the original text here of Matthew, and you look at the word easy, and you find that the word is krestos. It's a Greek word for easy, and it also means, the exact same word also means something that is a perfect fit. That same word was used to describe a yoke that was fit to a pair of oxen. You might know this, you might find this interesting and surprising. But when a pair of oxen would pull a plow in the time of our Lord, the yoke was first carved to a custom fit to match the animals. So try to imagine a pair of oxen pulling a plow, and the yoke is too big or it's too small. What would happen? It would be burdensome, it would be inefficient, it would be irritating, it would be annoying, it might even cause physical harm to the animal. So what they would do is they would take a yoke to a skilled carpenter who would cut it to a custom fit. Now, what did Jesus do before his public life? He was a skilled carpenter. It's not difficult to imagine that Jesus carved the most perfect fitting yokes in all of Nazareth. And I'll tell you something interesting. He's still doing the same thing with us in our lives. The burden that you're carrying, the cross that you bear, it might be difficult to carry, but I'm telling you, it fits so well. It's exactly what you need to purify your soul of sin, of selfishness. If you're faithful in carrying it, it'll carry you all the way to heaven. That's one understanding. That's one understanding of how our Lord means when he says that his yoke is easy and his burden light. You know, it's very similar to what he said when he said that he's meek and humble of heart. You want to understand what that means, you got to take your current understanding of the word meek and throw it out the window, okay? Because if I asked you what the word meek means, most people would think that it means that you're a sap or a wimp or a doormat. Not an appealing quality. Not an appealing quality at all. What does Jesus mean when he says the word meek? It's certainly not that. I remember once I was looking at a cartoon in the New Yorker magazine, and cartoon depicted this table full of people at a meeting, all these skinny little guys gathered around a table, and up over top there was this great big banner that named their group, and they called themselves the Dedicated Order of Really Meek and Timid Souls. Spell it all out. Dedicated Order of Really Meek and Timid Souls. Doormats. And their emblem was a yellow caution light. And their motto was, the meek will inherit the earth. If that's okay with you, right? That's not what Jesus means when he says meek. Go back to the original scriptures and you find something kind of interesting. The original Greek word that Matthew used when he said meek was prophanes. That's the exact same word that describes a horse that's been saddled, a horse that's been broken in. Now, I would submit to you that a horse is the most magnificent animal in all creation. Powerful, swift, majestic, regal, beautiful, royal. But for all of its beauty, a horse does you no good if it's a wild horse. It has to be saddled. It has to be profanes. It has to be meek. Now, it's very similar with you and me. Right there where you sit, you have been gifted, every last one of you, with a set of gifts, with a set of talents, and with a set of life circumstances that are unique in all of history. And you are given a commission by God to become a blessing to every person who knows you. But you cannot do that unless you are saddled to God's will, unless you're meek. And if we are, brothers and sisters, and by that, it means that we humbly bend the knee to accept the cross that the Lord has placed on our shoulders, you'll become a blessing to everybody who knows you. That's what it means when you take up the yoke of Christ. That's what it means when you take up his burden. There's an illusion that all of us live under. It's this foolish idea that if I can just acquire one more thing, if I can just get one more promotion, if I can just have one more goal ticked off on my little bucket list of life, then at last I'll be happy. And you want to know God's honest truth? The opposite is the case. The opposite is the case. We do not acquire the peace that our souls yearn for by acquiring anything. We do it by emptying of ourselves, by saying to God on our knees, thy will be done, and daring to actually mean it. Jesus says, my peace I leave you. My peace is my gift to you. And he gives that in no small measure to those who bear his yoke, to those who carry his burden. Let's, you and I, as we continue with the Mass, pray that we might do so. that he might give peace to our hearts and consolation and comfort to our weary souls. Amen.